You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show. I'm Robert Lee and alongside me this week is Ewan Murray as we reflect on two events this week, the M2M Russian Open in Moscow and the Senior Open Championship from Royal Porthcawl, where Bernhard Langer blew away the field to secure a record-breaking wire-to-wire victory.
It means a lot to win any major and to win it on a great golf course like this one, and with a 13-shot lead, this is exceptional. It doesn't happen very often and it's been an amazing week for me.
We'll hear more from the German who coasted to an incredible 13-shot win in Wales. Plus, we speak exclusively to M2M Russian Open winner David Horsey, who claimed his third European Tour title courtesy of a playoff.
A long time coming, over 3 years since I won, so yeah, to get back in the winner circle is obviously very pleased. 10 events left now before Dubai, so hopefully I can get myself back up into contention again and maybe knock another one off, who knows.
So stay with us for a full review of what happened in Moscow and Wales. Plus, we look ahead to this week's event, the star-studded WGC Bridgestone Invitational in Ohio. Ewan, great to have you along again. You had a pretty marvellous week down in Wales.
I surely did. I saw some of the finest golf I think I've seen since I was a player at the age of 17, 18 years of age and right up to now as a commentator. It was quite sensational.
It seemed unfeasible that Bernhard Langer could keep that standard up for the four rounds, but somehow he managed to do it. How did he manage to do that?
I don't think even he knows how he managed to do that. But if you look at Colin Montgomery, who finished in second place there, he had one bad nine the whole week. He came home in 40 on Saturday. Had he come home in 4-under par 32, he still would have lost by five.
I mean, Monty was the guy who came into the event with the most momentum with the two major wins. And he didn't disappoint, really, because the course wasn't easy.
No, you only have to look and see how many players finished under par to realise just how difficult it was. But Langer's performance, I've seen some great performances from him, obviously, down the years, but that was right up there at the top of the tree.
What about if they'd have put a main tour event on that golf course, exactly the same tee boxes and everything, would they have beaten Langer's score?
Without question, they wouldn't have got near it.
That's incredible. That's saying how well the guy's playing, how freaky he is.
It's the firmest I've ever seen any playing surface in the game. Tony Jacklin was alongside us for the 4 days, and he thought maybe in the 60s you would get courses like that where they didn't have any watering of any description, but he'd never seen a links just as firm as that. And Langer's driving was quite sensational, and that was the foundation of his success.
He took an 8-shot lead into the final round, and sometimes people think that's easy at home. Sometimes that's the hardest thing in the world to do. And on top of that, he posted a 67. He's mentally, what, the strongest player mentally that's ever lived, or close to it?
I would think so. You talk about Hogan and the mental strength that Hogan had down the years. Langer, I would say, that was right up there with Ben Hogan. It was one unbelievable performance.
4 rounds in the 60s, 13-shot victory, which I do believe, Ewan, is a senior major record, margin-wise.
It is, and he shared the record with the lead going into the final round and then extended that to the 13 shots. And very similar to Tiger Woods at Pebble Beach when he won the US Open by 50.
So Bernhard's coming up to 57 years of age. How does he stay motivated?
I think the big question will be January 2016. What happens with the putter? Can he use another putter? Does he have a different style that is as effective? We'll have to wait and see.
Well, let's hear from the man that tore the field apart and understandably delighted Bernhard Langer.
It means a lot to win any major and to win it on a great golf course like this one. And with a 13-shot lead, this is exceptional. It doesn't happen very often in anybody's professional career, and I'm just very blessed to have been able to play such good golf and really enjoy, you know, the 18 holes today, because there wasn't too much pressure. Still had to obviously hit some decent shots and make some putts, but got off to a great start and you know, increased my lead, and it was a real pleasure to be playing the last 10-12 holes. I've once won a tournament by 17, the World Championship under 25 years, but you know, that's just doesn't happen. not with the competition you're facing, and certainly not in a major, usually where the best from around the globe are playing in the championship. So it's been an amazing week for me.
It's been an amazing season for Bernhard Langer. I mean, he's wiping the floor with them in America. I mean, I know Monty's won the two majors, but Langer's play week to week has been extraordinary. So he sets a new record for the biggest winning margin in the Senior Open Championship, beating Bob Charles's 1989 benchmark by 6 strokes. His winning total of 18 under par 266 was the lowest in the 28-year history of the Senior Open Championship. He also equaled the second biggest winning margin in major championship history, just 2 shy of Tiger Woods' record 15-stroke triumph at the 2000 US Open Championship at Pebble Beach. And what about the rest of the field then? Monty can be very pleased with what he's done. There's no slur on his score this week.
No, and there was no chance of him ever catching Langer. The way Langer started the final round, that virtually finished the championship there. It was a windy day, so there could have been some high scores, and Montgomery's goal was to secure second place, which would keep him ahead at the Seniors Order of Merit at the top of that list. So it was mission accomplished, really, for him.
Yeah, it sure was. Well, let's hear from the distant runner-up, the Senior Order of Merit leader, Colin Montgomery, who was satisfied with his second-place finish.
The rest of us were playing for second place, and I feel that I won, you know. I won the battle. 144 starters here. You know, I beat 142 of them. It was just him, you know. But that him is awfully good, I must admit. There's all credit to him, you know, and he's amazing, isn't he? You know, he's amazing. I don't know. He's clinical. He's methodical. He's ambassadorial. He's diplomatic. He's everything. And he's a real asset to any tour that Bernhard Langer plays on.
He sure is right about that, Colin Montgomery. And he identified Langer in the two majors that he won. He said, "If I can finish in front of Langer this week, I've got a great chance of winning," which he did. But Langer, I think, got it all back and more this week with that margin of victory.
Well, you can imagine what that does for your confidence when you beat a player of Montgomery's class by that amount. And Montgomery, by his own admission, played extremely well. But they were gracious words, I felt, for Montgomery there. Second's never been great in his world, but he was happy with it on Sunday.
Yeah, and he is leading the Order of Merit, so pretty good stuff for Colin Montgomery as well. Well, let's hear from two more players who were left in Langer's wake. Canada's Rick Gibson, but first of all, American Tom Pernice.
Pretty special week, and I'm sure he'll say the same thing. I mean, to shoot that low around here, you got to be on all cylinders and you got to be in control of your golf ball, putting well, thinking well. Pretty remarkable, you know, when you lap the field by this much and these conditions on, you know, anytime you play a course this firm, I mean, there's danger lurking everywhere. So for him to be 17 under six, it's remarkable.
Hats off to Bernhard. Wow, he might have missed 2 shots out there, slightly missed 2 shots, but an incredible display of golf. Phenomenal. And again, you know, it's, you had Langer and Montgomery, 1 and 2, so 2 best in the world.
You do get the impression that everybody, including those who played really well, are just doffing their caps to the performance of Bernhard Langer. Quite extraordinary. And other notable finishes, Miguel Angel Jimenez finished 8th, and Tom Watson, still playing some great stuff, finished 10th on what was a very difficult golf course. And what about the tips from our guests last week, Paul Eales and Gordon Brand Jr.? Well, they both played in Porthcawl. They weren't allowed to pick themselves, which was probably a good thing, but they did pretty well with their predictions, I have to say. Paul Eales, who finished tied 46th on plus 11, plump for the runaway winner, Bernhard Langer. So well done, Paul. And Gordon Brand Jr., who sadly missed the cut himself, picked the runner-up, Colin Montgomery. So they both did rather well. I have to say, they picked the form horses, Langer and Monty. They didn't go out on a limb. They didn't come up with some amazing pick from way down the field. I'm not giving them that much credit. Anyway, grudgingly, Paul Eales did pick the winner. So, Ewan, can we please have the final top 10 from this year's Senior Open Championship?
In 10th place was Tom Watson, despite 3 double bogeys on the final day. 2011 champion Russ Cochran was alongside him. Miguel Angel Jimenez, you mentioned, into the top 10 alongside Kirk Triplett. Bob Tway rather fell away in the final day, as did Scott Dunlap. And into the top 5, it was a tie for 3rd. Tom Pernice, Barry Lane, who got himself a nice healthy cheque for €77,000. Rick Gibson, and of course the top 2 there, Colin Montgomery, with a very fine total of 279, but a distant 13 shots behind the new Senior Open champion.
Yeah, Bernhard Langer. Well done, Bernhard. Now, what does that do to the top of the Senior Tour Order of Merit?
Because Colin Montgomery and Bernhard Langer have played so well, they're a long way ahead. Monty had to be no worse than 5th if Langer won to stay at the top of the list, and of course with that runners-up place, that's what he managed to do. So Langer moves into 2nd place there. But one of the big jumpers of the week is the Canadian Rick Gibson, who won at Bad Ragaz over in Switzerland. A nice check yesterday for Rick, there, round about the €77,000 mark again. So that takes him over 100,000. So he'll be challenging with the next 8 tournaments to go in the Seniors Tour. And he's a man very much in form.
He certainly is. OK, so on to matters on the European Tour, where Englishman David Horsey edged out Irishman Damian McGrain in a playoff to win the M2M Russian Open, the third European win of his career. And I'm delighted to say that on the line, after just having won in Moscow, is David himself. David, how are you?
Very well, Rob. And you?
Yeah, very well indeed. I'm alongside you and Murray. You must be absolutely delighted that you snatched that one at the end.
I am indeed, yeah. It's been a long time coming, over 3 years since I last won. So, yeah, to get back in the winner's circle is obviously very pleasing.
Did you have an idea as you were playing the back nine where you stood, what was happening?
Not at all, to be honest, no. I was actually telling a few people, didn't look at a board till 17, which in hindsight probably was a bit of a mistake. So back at 17th green in two, and then all of a sudden I'm three behind. I need to sort of get myself moving, so managed to chip that in on 17 from the back edge to make eagle, and then thought I needed to birdie the last, and turned out a par was good enough for a playoff.
Were you surprised when you got to 17 that you were three behind?
A little bit, yeah. I was more just focusing on myself, trying to focus on myself all day. And obviously playing with Pete Whiteford, who I was tied with going into the last round, I was more focused on him, really, I think, than anything else. And that sort of, it could have backfired a little bit. Unfortunately, it didn't cost me anything in the end. But I think a lesson learnt, and I'll probably start looking at boards a little sooner in the future.
David, it's Ewan here. 72nd hole, after you chipped in at the 17th, a very important up and down from the left-hand bunker.
Definitely, yeah. I need to make par to get in the playoff. Left myself about a 5-footer. We're just outside the right edge, and managed to bury that one in the middle, and then come through in the playoff.
Damian McGrain found that left-hand bunker in the playoff, didn't manage to get down in two, but the tee shot and the second shot you must have been fairly proud of in the playoff.
Damian was to play first there in the playoff, and he's hitting a long trap, long left in that trap. And obviously, having been in there, I knew that it wasn't that easy a bunker shot. So I was always sort of aiming right at the flag there with the water on the left. And it turned out 2 putts from there was good enough.
Have you felt this form coming, David?
Yeah, I've been playing nicely, to be honest, Rob. Yeah, my results really haven't shown that. It's just been sort of one or two holes, even 4 or 5 during the course of 2 rounds. It's sort of cost me, if you like. I played really nicely in France first round, and then just made a quadruple and a double in the second round, and all of a sudden, I'm missing the cut by plenty. So, but yeah, I've been playing nicely. Things have been progressing really well with my new coach, Mike Walker, over the last 9 months. I'm pleased with how things are going, and hopefully I can press on from here.
When you started this season, did you, because some players do, some players don't, did you write down any targets for yourself?
No, I don't like to sort of get too far ahead of myself in that respect. It's important, obviously, to try and get top 10, get yourself in contention as many weeks as possible. And that's really all I'm thinking about each week, is certainly more so now, I think, focusing on myself and just trying to go out and do what I can do. And I know, obviously, having won again last week, that doing that, I can compete, every week. So that's really my goals for the rest of the year, is just to take one week at a time and not think about too much about anything or anyone else.
And nothing like a win to boost the confidence, David.
Definitely, yeah. Like I said before, it's been a while coming now, and it's not really sunk in properly yet, I don't think. And yeah, it's definitely nice to know that I've still got that edge sort of coming down the last few holes in contention, and obviously stands me well in the future if I get in that situation again.
When you start your career, you get to 29, you've now got 3 wins on the European Tour. Would you say you're behind or ahead of schedule?
Pretty much on schedule. I mean, I've always said sort of when I started, when I got my card through Challenge Tour, it would be nice to have won every year. The first year, probably tried a lot too hard to win. Second year, obviously then won it at the BMW, and then won again the following year in Morocco. And then since then, I've sort of tried to maybe be too perfect, trying to change too much, and lost sight of the actual art of scoring and getting the ball in the hole. Searching for perfection isn't what golf's about. It's obviously you need to improve and you need to keep an eye on that. And with the standard of golf these days on the European Tour, it's you need to be on top of your game. You need to always be moving forward, but you still got to get the ball in the hole, and at times lost sight of that.
I'm glad you had a terrific week. 3 wins. It's going very well, David, and still there could be a big end for you at the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I'm hopefully press on from here now, and hopefully got 10 events left now before Dubai. So hopefully I can get myself back up into contention again and maybe knock another one off. Who knows?
Thank you very much, David, for spending time with us, and we'll see you down the road very shortly.
Brilliant. Thanks, Rob. Thank you.
Well, it's great to hear from him. And I'll tell you what, the players are really good. They come on the Race to Dubai show on a Monday morning after they just won. They're absolutely shattered. They're a good bunch. They really are. Well, it's his third European Tour international victory, as we said, in his 163rd European Tour event. He moves to €376,000 in the race to Dubai. His first victory since the 2011 Trophy Hassan Dur, a gap of 3 years and 115 days. It's his fifth top 10 finish from 16 events in this campaign. OK, let's concentrate a little more on the players he beat now. First of all, Irishman Damien McGrain, who was happy with how he played despite narrowly missing out in the playoff.
Very pleased with my week. Obviously, disappointed not to do a little bit better in the playoff there. But, like, I picked good shots all week, caught it reasonably well. But, you know, all in all, I'm very positive and it's good for me. It's good for me mentally as well. I can press on from here. Plenty of golf to play between now and the end of the year, so I can keep going.
He's a streaky player, Damien. When he gets on a run, he can score some pretty low scores.
Well, he won the Volvo China Open by a record number of shots out there. So, yes, he's like all of these players, you know. We talk about the great players, obviously, because that's who we focus on. But there's a tremendous amount of players out there that, on the day, are capable of greatness.
They sure are. And unlucky Damien McGrain. Good, good effort. So, you and the top 10 in Moscow.
Tied 10th was England's Sam Walker alongside the Spaniard Carlos Del Moral. Pavan, one or two nice players actually in the top 10 there. Andre Pavan, who played so well in the Challenge Tour a few years back, he started to play some good golf again. And Maximilian Kiefer from Germany had a closing 69 there to tie alongside him in 8th place. Many think the next winner on the European Tour, the next youngster, will be Thomas Peters of Belgium. He had a really good chance to go and close that one out, but 272s on the weekend, and that meant he was tied for 6th place alongside Christer Eriksson of Sweden. Peter Whiteford will rue his final round. It was perfect scoring conditions, really, and 75 wasn't good enough for Peter to have his maiden victory. Sam Hutsby, a young Englishman there, great to see him in the top four. Scott Jamieson, another Scott, finishing third, and of course the playoff there between McGrain and Horsey, and the Englishman the winner.
Yes, an Englishman up to 50th now in the race to Dubai, but what about the top 10?
Not much change there because the M2M Russian Open obviously had a different field than the normal fields, and many of them resting up ahead of the next 2 weeks with the World Golf Championship and, of course, the final major of the year. So Rory still top of the list after that brilliant performance at Hoylake. Thomas Bjorn occupies second. Garcia with a good open moves into third. Keimer, who's had such a wonderful year, Players' Champion, US Open Champion, in fourth. Jamie Donaldson in fifth now, and he's followed by Stephen Gallagher, Justin Rose, Victor Dubuisson, Henrik Stenson and Lee Oosthuizen of South Africa. It's a very impressive top 10.
And what about the world rankings, Ewan?
Jim Furyk disappointed not to win, obviously, in the Canadian Open over there, but he's up to 8th place, just ahead of Jason Day, and Tiger Woods in 10th place now. Probably more on him later. Bubba Watson in 7th. Matt Kuchar, another fine performance in Canada, but no victory for Kuchar. Seems to be a top 5 player and finds winning quite difficult. And then we move into the top 5. Garcia, nice to see him up there. 2nd's the highest he's ever been. Justin Rose is in 4th. Stenson still in 3rd. But McIlroy, with that win at Hoylake, through the field, and he's tucked in behind the world number one, Adam Scott.
Yeah, it's looking very good, that race for the number one spot. Really, really tight competition up there. OK, so in other news, England's Andrew Johnson stormed to his 2nd Challenge Tour title in the space of a month after a blistering final round of 64 secured a 4-stroke win in the Le Vaudreuil Golf Challenge in France. Starting the final round 3 shots off the pace, Johnson tore through the field with 6 birdies and an eagle in his last 15 holes for a winning score of 16 under par, just 4 weeks after claiming his maiden title at the Scottish Hydro Challenge. The result elevates the 25-year-old to the top of the Challenge Tour rankings as he becomes the first player of the 2014 season to earn more than €100,000 and joins Jake Roos and Maurits Lampert as two-time winners this season. And one more win for any of those three gets them straight onto the European Tour. So that's a big incentive to win quickly again on the Challenge Tour. And over on the PGA Tour, Tim Clark shot a 5-under-par 65 to edge out American Jim Furyk by one shot to claim the RBC Canadian Open, Clark's 2nd win on the PGA Tour, the other one being the Players' Championship. And the South African was understandably delighted to get back to winning ways.
To come back here, yeah, full circle. You know, that's 16 years ago when I was just cutting my teeth as a professional golfer and was fortunate enough to be given some starts up here as I got ready for Q School and whatnot. So I have fond memories, and my wife is Canadian and she has a lot of family here in the Montreal area, so I've always enjoyed coming up here and playing. A few years ago, I felt like I had a really good chance to win this tournament when Carl Pedersen won, so it was nice that he was the one to win it, but I had a great chance there to win this event. It's certainly one I've wanted to win for a long time. Any national open championship to me is special, particularly to those people from that country, so I know what it means to the Canadian players to play up here. It's an honour for me to be able to be the open champion.
Yes, he one-putted 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, and two-putted last to win by a shot. So a tremendous performance with that long putter, Tim Clark. Next up on the European Tour is the third WGC event of 2014, the Bridgestone Invitational from Firestone Country Club in Ohio. Well, it's a great couple of weeks of golf coming up in the States, Ewan, but massive events for players that need big results, like those that are outside the current qualifying spots for their respective Ryder Cup sides.
For sure, and of course that tournament next week is followed by the final major of the year, so for the players you're talking about, this is the most important section of their season.
Just give us a flavour of the field, if you would.
Well, it's a case of who isn't playing, is probably what you're looking at there. What I'm looking forward to is Tiger Woods. There was flashes of him in the Open where his heart and his mind is still very strong, obviously struggling with his game. Firestone is a golf course that he's owned. He knows his way around there. You could play Tiger Woods blindfolded around there and he would probably still break par. Be very interesting to see how he plays. He needs to finish third in that and the PGA to get into the FedEx Cup. If he doesn't, will Watson then pick him for Glen Eagles?
It's intriguing. He's under an awful lot of pressure to do something. Can Watson pick him if he doesn't play the FedEx Series? It's a conundrum for Watson, it really is, who's already stated that if Tiger's fit, he picks him. We will see. So who do you fancy then as a potential winner?
Tiger Woods, I'm going to go for.
You're going for Tiger Woods. That's a bold, massive, massive play because he's third favourite, 14 to 1.
Well, I've seen his 8 victories there and I've seen what he can do to that golf course and the way he plays it. It's a very strategic golf course. 16 holes go north and south, only 2 go from east to west. And Woods just knows how to get round there and he needs a performance. When Woods needs something, sometimes he delivers.
A couple of Europeans that would love to be automatic picks for Paul McGinley, i.e. being the 9 qualifying spots. One's Lee Westwood, one's Graham McDowell, both with big agendas this week.
Again, big agendas in Firestone in Ohio and big agendas in Kentucky. And they both need 2 good weeks. 1 week probably isn't enough for them because of the way the others are playing.
What about the other top Americans that are taking part? I mean, Kuchar hasn't won as many as he should have done, really. Jim Furyk will be very disappointed after last week. Bubba Watson, he's had the Masters win, but other than that, he's been a bit disappointing.
It has. You look at Jim Furyk's record at Firestone. He's had 2 great chances of winning there. Lost a long playoff with Tiger Woods and then double bogeyed the last to lose out a couple of years back. So Jim will want to get back on the horse as quickly as possible because I think if you look at the Canadian Open, it was one that slipped from his grasp.
And European-wise, we've got one player coming in with an unbelievable amount of confidence, and that's Rory McIlroy.
You would have to look at McIlroy. I take it he's the first favourite.
He is the first favourite, yes.
And he'll be your pick?
No, 13-2 he is to win that. He's not my pick, funnily enough, for this. I'm saving him for the PGA Championship.
At least that's something we will agree on.
We will agree on that. I'm saving him for Valhalla. I think it's a tailor-made fit, the two of those there. However, we're talking about Bridgestone, Firestone. What sort of a player, then, does well around there?
My European pick is Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño.
Now, that's a massive pick because he finished top 5 last week. That's a very much needed performance in America. So you think he's got momentum now?
I do, and I think it's a golf course that suits him. You don't have to be long to play Firestone, and he's not short, but he's not one of the longer hitters. He's a very accurate hitter. Small greens, so he will find most of them in greens and regulation, I suspect. It's a question of how well he puts.
He has sort of issues from 4 or 5 feet, and if he can get those in, you know, his ball striking is fantastic. He's right out there with the best ball strikers. So, I mean, I would love to see him play well. I'd love to see him take care of business in America and win this week. It would be tremendous. So you've picked Tiger as your tip, and you're going with Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño.
You heard correctly.
So I'm going to counter that with my American tip's going to be Ricky Fowler, who I thought played beautiful stuff at the Open Championship. 2 second places in the majors this year and a top 5. That's what he's playing in the big events, and I think this is a big event. So I'm going for Ricky Fowler, and I'm going to compliment him with my European pick. And you might be a bit surprised at this. I'm going to go for Lee Westwood.
I am surprised. I thought you were going to pick Sergio Garcia.
Yes, I've changed my mind. And I'll tell you why I've changed my mind, because thinking back to this, I really am desperate to play in the Ryder Cup scenario. I think Westwood wants to play badly at Glen Eagles. And I saw him for half an hour on the Friday morning. I know he missed the cut just at the Open Championship, but for half an hour, he was striping it on the range. So, you know, I see that his game's there. If it all comes together in the week, Why not? Why not a Lee Westwood?
I think many people would like to see it, to be perfectly honest. Many people would like to see Lee and Paul McGinley's side, but to do that, I think he's going to have to earn it, and the Bridgestone's a good place to start.
Just to reiterate that I've gone for Lee Westwood and Ricky Fowler, and you have gone for Tiger Woods and...
Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño.
And, of course, we will look back at everything that happens at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational when we come back this week, and then a massive preview to the final major of the year, the US PGA Championship from Valhalla. So until then, from me, Robert Lee, and him over there, Ewan Murray...
Goodbye.
Goodbye.